Good morning. As you can tell, we're going to be talking about worship today, for those who couldn't tell. But we're also doing some things very differently today. And the reason that is as I was really racking my brain and praying, and as Josh and I were kind of hashing over what this series was going to look like, I was thinking, you know, I get to go first, but almost it's like Josh threw me under the bus. Because the first one's the hardest. Because, you know, if I mess up here, then the foundation's not laid. So I'm thinking, man, defining worship. How do I define worship? How do I really tell you what that looks like? So the first thing, I was like, you know, I was praying about it, and I thought, we show them. We show them what worship looks like. That's the first way we can define worship. We can show them. And that's why we read Psalms. We read several Psalms, because you know what? Even though there's not one place in the Bible that says this is worship, there's no Webster's Dictionary section of the Bible that says this is what worship is, there is a lot of places in the Bible where it shows us. So that was a sample today of some Psalms, and over the next month we'll be doing that more, where you can really see what worship looks like. And the problem with defining worship that we found is there tends to be this focus. When we define worship, there tends to be this focus on one part of worship, but not the whole. Like, people want to define the music part of worship. You say, well, what is worship? People say, oh, it's singing. And people will say, well, okay, what is worship? It's like, oh, it's service to the Lord. Well, what is worship? Oh, it's prayer. And they'll point about one part of worship, but they'll miss the whole definition. And what that ends up being like, it's like someone saying, well, define a car. And you end up talking about the engine. And they walk away and they're like, I have no idea what a car is, but I definitely know what an engine is. Or they talk about the wheels. And you're like, man, I know what the wheels are, but I have no idea what the car is. So we do that with worship a lot of times. We'll try to define worship, and we define one part of worship, but not the whole. So I'm doing my best here to give you a good definition for worship, but I'm also, as we go along, we're going to kind of go on this journey together to try to describe worship, because sometimes definitions only go so far, right? So here's the basic definition of worship, and you're going to hear this throughout the next month. The basic definition of worship is honor given as the proper response to a relationship with an awesome God. So, honor given as a proper response to a relationship with an awesome God. Now, some of you have probably already noticed, in your worship guide, we have a little note-taking sheet for you. So, those blanks on there, you can fill in the blanks. And that'll help you to remember this, because I know it's sometimes hard to remember all of these different things. Now, like I said, definitions can sometimes not give us the whole picture. So while this is true, this is a good definition, let's flush out and let's see what that looks like. And in order to do that, in order to describe worship, we're going to use Romans chapter 11, verses 33 through 12:2. And we're going to use that as our guide to see what worship looks like. Now, this section of scripture, it's there in Romans, and for about three chapters, Paul has been talking about the Jews and, you know, the nation of Israel, and he's been talking about how they factor into salvation, and he's been given this whole big explanation about how God is working things out and how God knows what he's doing. And then he just at the very end of this, he just starts praising God. And he just, for all he's worth, he starts praising God, and he says, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and untraceable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has ever first given to him and has to be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Now, Y'all are like, man, that sounds familiar. It's almost like Josh just read that. Yeah, he did. Josh read that, and the reason is I really want that scripture to stick in your head. And I only read half of it this time, but I really want that scripture to stick in your head because this is a good model for us of what it looks like. And what we're going to see is that worship is actually twofold. Worship is twofold. There are two parts of worship. The first part of worship is God's greatness. And that's what this section talks about. It talks about God's greatness, how awesome he is. You just can look at Paul. You can see he's gotten done with this whole big, long theological text. And now he's saying, but you know what? Oh, the depths of the riches of both the wisdom and knowledge of God. He's like, man, I just got done writing all this, and I'm just amazed by how awesome God is. So you can't really see worship. You can't really understand worship or get to know what worship is if you don't understand the greatness of God. Because worship is twofold. It starts with recognizing God's greatness. It starts with God's greatness. But then from there, Paul kind of helps us out. We see Paul reflecting on God's greatness, but then he helps us out because he gives the second half of this section. And I'm just going to read verse 1, because that's all we really need for this purpose. Chapter 12, verse 1, it says, Therefore, based on the stuff that he just said, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. Guys, do you kind of see the 1-2 punch here? First of all, this first part, he says, God, how great you are. You're awesome. You know, no one can take anything from you, God. You're so awesome. You know everything. Who can imagine your plans, Lord? And then he says, therefore, if God's so great, therefore, I want you to respond like this. Therefore, I want you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. So when we look at worship, what I really want you to walk away with this concept of worship, is that worship is twofold. It's God's greatness, our response. God's greatness, our response. So the definition that I gave earlier was that honor given as a proper response to a relationship with an awesome God. So you see that? You see, it's based on how awesome God is and our response to that. Now that psalm I read earlier, Psalm 8, it's one of my favorite psalms, and it where he talks about, you know, who is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man. You know, and when he goes into that, you can really see, man, God is so great. Why does he even care about me? And we're seeing in that psalm, we're seeing the psalmist say, look at God's glory, and this is my response. So everything we do in worship, whether we're singing, whether we're serving God, praying, whatever we're doing, whatever form of worship we're doing, it's based on God's greatness, our response. Now you're thinking, there we go. That's it. We can go home now, right? But often what we do is we look at these really spiritual things. And that sounds very spiritual. Oh, yeah, God is great, awesome, our response. And then we walk away and we don't really apply it. So I was thinking, man, how can we really think of a way to bring this home? And I thought about this, and I felt like the Lord really gave this to me. Guys, we do this every day. We think about even the person who doesn't know God. In a very small, mild form, they do a type of worship. In fact, some people who don't know God, they do this better than we do. Go to a sports game. go to some of those sports games and go to a Saints game or LSU game and see some of these people painted from head to toe. They're hollering, yeah, this is awesome. Great, woo, go team. And they're painted head to toe, or they, anytime you meet them, they're like, have you seen those Saints? Now, some of y'all do that. especially after they beat the Falcons, Pastor Bobby's like, have you seen them Saints? Who that? Oh. That's right. So yeah, right? So, guys, here's the thing. Yeah, worship is aimed towards God, but we have adoration down pat. This concept of honoring someone or something, this concept of showing adoration or love or passion towards something that you care about, we don't need help with that, do we? Some of you, it's with your grandkids. You know, your grandkids, you're always, I just want to tell you about my grandkids. I just want to tell you how great they are. Some of you, it's about your kids. I tell you, my mom, oh, it is so obnoxious sometimes, guys. I'm not going to let her get a recording of this because I'm about to talk about it. My mom, when I go home, she's like, hey, guys, have you met my son? Have you met him? You know, he's a pastor. He's an ordained Baptist minister. And I'm like, Mom, good gracious. And by the time I actually get to say hello, I'm like, I'm set up for failure. I'm like, hi, my name is Ben. I can't live up to that. Nice to meet you. Because my mom, she's like, oh, I love my son. You know, and I'm the baby, so that makes it even worse. I love my son. So, hey, I just want to tell you about him. That's adoration, guys. Now take that and apply it to God. Just like that person, that sports fanatic, will see his sports team, he'll see something great in them, something where he really clings his heart, really he loves that team, or you about your grandchild, you really love your grandchild or your child. And adoration, honoring them, comes naturally. Now, if we can do that so easily with things that are limited, small, then how much more should we do that when we are face to face with the greatness of the God who can create the universe? What I desire for you guys is that you will have a relationship with God like that. See, it's not just saying, God, you're great. It's, you know, part of my definition I gave, it's a response to a relationship with an almighty God. Just like my mom bragging on me, or a person, you know, with their sweetheart who's always talking, you know, great about them. It's part of a relationship. I want you to enjoy that, because some of us guys, and I do this too, and that's the reason I know you do it, because I know I do it. Some of you will go through the motions, and you won't worship God. You won't really show God how you care. And you're not living in that relationship. So I'm just saying, take a concept that you naturally apply all the time, but apply it to God who's greater. Look at God's greatness and then respond to that. That's worship. And as we look at this, as that's our first description, our first part of our description is that it's twofold. It's God's greatness, our response. The second part of our description that I want us to get is that worship is personal and costly. Now, in the third week of this series, I'm going to talk about this more. But right now, I'm just going to kind of give you the highlights of it. Guys, if you love someone, that's very personal. It's a very personal thing. That's not something you just do one day a week. You know, what's the first commandment? What's the greatest commandment? It's love the Lord your God, right? A little bit? No. With everything we got. Love the Lord our God with everything we have. Guys, when you love someone, it's personal and it costs. It hurts sometimes. We give up things. There are many times my mom gave up things for us because we didn't have a lot growing up. There are times that some of you have given up things for your family. You've given up things for your spouse. It's sacrificial. So when we see the personal aspect of it, we see in verse 1 of chapter 12, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. Now, some translations will say reasonable service. The word worship and service are very similar in Greek. It can have both meanings. So that's why the King James will have reasonable service. Guys, there's this tendency for us to think that worship is something that only takes place here on Sunday. How many of you show love and adoration to those you care about only one day a week? Yeah, we don't do that. We don't work like that. Some of you may, but that might be a deeper issue. You're like, I'm not raising my hand. She's sitting next to me. Guys, we can't just act like worship is this thing that we do on Sundays. Some of you are like, no, because I do it on Sunday and Wednesday. No, don't work that way. A living sacrifice, guys. There's no way you can read that and think, hey, you know, I can just do that once a week. No. You can tell this is a personal thing and it cost me. A sacrifice is costly. I'm going to give you an example. And I think this will help. All right, we all know, I've talked about those sports fanatics, those people who just, they love sports. And there's nothing wrong with that, Pastor Bobby. There's nothing wrong with that. There's those people who just love sports. But you know what? I'll notice this. They'll do crazy things. I mean, crazy things. Like, even when their team's losing. Like, Pastor Bobby, prime example, Mississippi State. I mean, even when they're losing, he is like, man, yeah, but we got a great baseball team. I mean, and I pick at him. I'm like, he's like, yeah, we did good. I'm like, was it Ultimate Frisbee? What did you do good in? It's Mississippi State. But he is hardcore. But you don't, it's not just on game day. He's not just crazy about Mississippi State on game day. He picks on me every week, so I get to pick on him this week. Come on. So it's not just on game day. It's all throughout the week. So let's think about those people who are really into sports. So all through the week, they're talking about their sports team. Hey, did you watch them on TV? Watch them on TV. And then after they get everybody together, they're, hey guys, let me tell you about my team. They're doing great. And then they get everybody on game day, come to my house. And let's watch the game together. See, that's what this is. This is game day. This is the day that we get all the friends together and we say, hey guys, come to my house. Come here, let's gather and let's celebrate the object of our adoration, our honor, our worship. But that doesn't mean you stop doing it throughout the week. So I plead with you guys, don't be a Sunday or Wednesday only worshiper. Worship daily. Worship with your life. Because that's what we do when we are responding to an awesome God. So worship is personal and corporate. We do it on our own and we do it here. But I've already kind of talked about it. Worship is also sacrificial and costly. That same guy who talks about his sports team all the time, sometimes, if he's really a fanatic, he'll even go tailgating, or he'll wait a long time for the ticket. You know, he'll spend a bunch of money on the tickets, and he'll do all these things just so he can be there. Guys, in our life, we see the same type of thing. That person, that guy who, man, he has met the girl. He has, I tell you, she's unlike any other girl, and he is smitten. That guy, I tell you, he will sacrifice, right? He will really give up things. So sometimes this looks like giving up our time. Sometimes this looks like giving up our friends. Sometimes this is monetarily. But sometimes it's just, and guys, we're going to read the Psalms, and I'm going to flesh this out more later. Sometimes it's just worshiping God, even though things really suck. Because sometimes they do. And moving on, as we describe worship, we talked about it being twofold, how it's God's greatness, our response. We've talked about it being personal and costly. But one thing we also see is that worship has many different forms and types. There's this tendency we have to only like our form of worship, or our style of worship, or our type of worship. And Josh is going to talk about this next week in much more depth than I am. But there's this tendency for us to do that. And guys, it's like seeing a husband who he gives chocolates to his wife, and you getting frustrated and saying, I can't believe that's how I sing songs to my wife. I can't believe what that guy's doing. Chocolates? Really? You know, and this guy's like, but she likes chocolate. Get off me. So, guys, we do that with our worship. We'd never do that with another person. We'd never say, well, he shows his adoration, his honor to his wife like this, but I show mine like this. He's wrong. He clearly doesn't love his wife. But we do that with worship, don't we? We do that. People show adoration, they show love, they show honor in different ways. So there are a bunch of different types of worship. There are many different forms. We see thanksgiving. Sometimes you just see how great God is and you respond that way. You're like, God, you are so awesome. You are so great. I just want to thank you. That psalm that Pastor Bobby read talked about that. Talked about, let's give thanksgiving to the Lord. Sometimes we sing. That's one type of worship, is singing. Sometimes you just, man, Lord, I just got to sing to you because you're so awesome. And we even see that with instruments. Once again, case in point, the psalm that Pastor Bobby read, it talked about making music with lyres lute, and all these stringed instruments. So we see that there's this time where, God, we are so amazed by your greatness and your awesomeness, God, and what it means to have a relationship with you, Lord, that we just got to sing. I just want to sing to you, God. Praying is sometimes one of the greatest forms of worship we can have when we just get before God and we just talk to him. We just say, God, I love you. Just like that would honor anyone, most people that you love, if you just say, I just want to be around you and I just want to spend time with you and talk to you right now. It's powerful, guys. When's the last time you prayed? Really pray and talk to God? Was it just on a Sunday? Was it at a worship service? Or was it at home? Say, man, Lord, I need you. And I love you. I just want to be near you right now, God. God's sacrifice. God's sacrifice is one thing. Like back in the day, sacrifice was a major way people, they'd sacrifice at the temple. That was a huge part of their worship. And once again, Josh is going to talk about that tomorrow. Next week. Sacrifice is a huge part of worship in the Old Testament. But the verse we read today talks about sacrifice, right? Talks about it. But it says, I want you to be a living sacrifice. That's a type of worship. Service with your whole heart. And then giving is a type of sacrifice. It's also, we see that a lot in the Old Testament, but we see it in the New Testament about God wanting a cheerful giver. These are ways that we show how much we care about God. It's part of a relationship with him. Worship is part of a relationship with God. If you're not worshiping, and something's wrong with the relationship. And it needs some evaluation. Guys, there's a verse I'm going to read real quick. It's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. And it kind of talks about this as well. Paul's writing, and he's talking to them. And in the midst of it, he says, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. And that kind of goes to what I said about singing with your heart. See, it's not about what you sing or how you do it. It's not about how you worship. It's about the heart of the worship. Where does it come from? What are you responding to? We're pretty good at responding to earthly things, but how well are we at responding to God? So now you're sitting here and you're like, okay, great. So how do I apply this to my life? What do I do? Because I feel guilty now. Thank you, Ben. Appreciate that. It was nice for you to come here and tell us how we're failing. But guys, we're all failing in this. At some point, I don't care how spiritual you are going to go through seasons of your life when you really look and you say, man, I'm not getting this right. So how do we apply this to our lives? How do we live a relationship that is defined by a relationship with God that's defined by worship? And that's what we want to invite you to this month, is to really enter that relationship with God. And we're going to walk through that with you. But here are some quick things, some tools that can help you. And you're going to be like, man, I've already heard some of these. You've already talked about these. But I really want you to look at some obvious, very obvious tools to help you kind of bring yourself to a place of worship. All right, so the first obvious tool that we see when coming into worship is prayer. Man, deja vu. I talked about that a second ago, right? Guys, Prayer is a way that we worship, but also it's a tool to help us. Prayer is a very useful tool. If you're having trouble worshiping, if you're having trouble really getting the right spirit and the right attitude, guys, I want you to pray and say, God, I don't have the right attitude here. God, I really need you. I don't know how to worship God. Help me. And he will. Reading Psalms. We did that today. Reading Psalms is great because it helps to get you in that right mentality where you're really thinking about how great God is. Singing songs. Guys, singing songs, sometimes if you're not in the mood to worship God, but then you sing songs, it will help to get you there. Because it reminds you of how awesome God is. Observing God's beauty. That's a huge way. That's a huge tool to really help you to worship. The psalm I read earlier, when I look at the stars, when I look at sky, and I think about you, Lord. Once again, another thing from your life. Who here ever looks at pictures of their kids made when they were young? And they look at, oh, yeah, you can't color in the lines, but look at them. And you look at that, and it makes you think of them. It reminds you of them by looking at something they made. Looking at God's creations like that. Although it's much better artistically, I think. In fellowship with other believers. When you're around other people that love God, and you're around those people that are also worshiping God, it really helps. So, guys, what I want to do today is, as Ken comes up, is I want to invite you to really worship God. There's a lot of times that we don't get this right, guys. But that's what relationships are like. Sometimes in relationships, it's difficult. And we don't say the right things, or we don't do the right things. And that's why we have times like this where we can refocus. So guys, some of you, when it comes to a relationship with God, it hasn't really been what it should be. And I want to encourage you guys to come up here and to just pray. Just say, God, I'm sorry, I'm back. Help me with this, because, you know, I have trouble. I invite you to do that, to come here and pray. And if you want, I'll pray with you. Or one of the other ministers in here will pray with you. Guys, for some of you, you've never even gotten a relationship with God. You don't know what it's like to have a relationship with God or to really follow God. And I invite you to come and enter the best relationship you can ever have. Some of you guys, you've looked at worship as something that's just a Sunday thing, or that's just a particular type of worship. You've been so focused on the wheels that you've missed the whole car. So focused on the engine that you've missed the whole car. And you've missed out. And I encourage you to come down, to pray. Like I said, I'll pray with you. If you just want to get before God and you want to have one of those moments of truth before God, I invite you to do that. And I pray that we will all live lives of worship, responding to the greatness of God with our whole heart.